Why is it so cold?
Well, we had warmer temperatures, right? We were in the 40s a while ago.
It's climate change. Climate change, my friend.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and you look good, by the way. Correct.
John Lottman joins us this morning.
Yeah. Well, if you like it cold, you're going to love what's coming our way, not only this week, but next week as well, because we have more Siberian slammers headed our way. These Arctic blasts just keep coming one after another. I heard your interview earlier with the mayor of Avon, Mayor Johnson, about the salt problems, and they're going to keep coming. We've already had an incredible amount of snow already for February, more than 14 inches, and a typical February only brings us about 19, but you know, we've got a long way to go, and we got another batch coming. Thursday's snow is an iffy proposition. Some of the models are going with 1 to 3 inches. Some are going with 3 to 6 or more inches of snow. And you heard, you remember what happened this last time. We got slammed by this stuff. So who knows what will happen. We're going to have to keep a closer eye on it. It's only a couple of days away. We're on our way to colder temperatures. Today's highs in the mid-30s. If you didn't clean your driveway, this is the day to get out and get the last of it off, because it'll be close to melting. After that, temperatures take an incredible plunge. And by Sunday, well, Saturday night, we're talking wind chills that are 10, 15 below zero. Sunday's high, according to the models, somewhere between 5 and 10 above, and some of them are skewing even lower than that. So what other good news can I bring you guys?
Well, that is the Valentine's Day weekend, so perhaps will just sort of
cuddle alert.
Stay exactly with this
cuddle
weather.
Alert.
Now, we've had cold weather, but the winds have not been too much of an issue, right? As far as I know, we haven't had a lot of them where the wind has been really...
God bless you for wearing a short-sleeve shirt and with an Indians logo on it, because you've been living inside, my friend. We've had more wind chill advisories so far this winter than I can remember in a long time.
Maybe my bones are just getting used to it. After last year's polar vortex, I'm thinking, what?
Compared to that, this is a heat wave. You know, the wind chill advisory criteria is 10 below, the feeling of 10 below zero. So that criteria is going to be met, and I expect that probably later today the National Weather Service will issue a wind chill advisory for wind chills of 10 below or colder as we make our way into the weekend.
Right.
So get ready for that, too. Love those short sleeves.
Have we been below average temperature-wise?
All the way through.
Really?
All the way through the winter. We have been below average. So,
At least we're not like Boston or New England or whatever.
Well,
right?
What they were hit with was heavy snowfall. The heavy, the pack and snow stuff, the stuff you can roll snowmen with, that stuff is what slammed them. Not so much the temperatures. We're suffering more from cold temperatures, and they're from heavy snow.
What choice? If you had to choose from the list of columns, which do you want? Cold temperatures? Lots of snow?
I don't know.
Because, tomorrow the temperature can go up. The snow will be there for a while.
The temperature tomorrow actually is going to
go down. Not tomorrow, literally,
I get it. So, figuratively.
Poetic sense,
Bruce, the answer to that question depends on how many children you have that are willing to shovel your driveway. No, seriously, that's just it's what it amounts to. Or do you have a good service?
Right.
Because your choice between cold or snow is really dependent upon who handles the
shovel. Where you're going and what you got to do.
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty much it. Well, that's what it is. We learn to live with the weather that we get.
Yeah, we do.
Otherwise, we move somewhere else, right?
Yeah. The way I figure it out, I know I keep throwing these climate change things at you. In a few years, this will be the garden spot of a nation. As those temperatures continue to climb, here we are on the shores of a beautiful lake. We'll be in a nice warm climate, and everybody will be retiring to Northeast Ohio.
I see there's property you're purchasing around, apparently.
Yeah, absolutely. I would acquire some quickly.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Climate change.
Yeah.
Is there climate change?
Yes, there is.
Has there always been climate change?
The climate has been changing for millennia, for eons.
Right.
It does. It is dependent. It's cyclical. When Washington was at Valley Forge, those guys were really freezing. They were in the little ice age. When Leif Erikson was discovering the New World and populating Greenland and Iceland with colonies that grew corn and brewed beer and raised sheep and cattle, that was the medieval warm period. Between 950 and 1350 AD, temperatures were warmer than they are now. And then they had to abandon those colonies in 1350 and beyond, because we went into the little ice age that took us down to temperatures that are well well below average, and then we started to climb back up, and everybody says, oh, well, that was the Industrial Revolution. Well, it happened to coincide with a time when we started to put more pollutants into the air, and I'm no advocate of putting more CO2 into the atmosphere. No one is. We're all looking for more efficient cars and more efficient factories, but the fact is climate changes, and if it's anthropogenic, that is driven by human beings, we play a minuscule role in the opinion of many well-known and well-educated scientists. And we're going to see climate change forever, and this is just part of the cycle. So that's my piece. And okay. If you want to know how I really feel about it, okay.
Good. By the way, this February is like the National Weather Service month, isn't it? Like,
yeah, February 5th was Weather Person's Day. They changed it because they had to be gender correct.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so this is the month. This
what,
is
what does that mean?
Well, didn't the National Weather Service or some sort of...
Yeah, Dr. Jeffries in the Revolutionary Times, at the time when they were framing the Constitution, framing the Declaration of Independence. President Jefferson was, at that time, you know, they were a bunch of kids, keeping weather records, and the earliest weather records go back to this Dr. Jeffries in Boston in the 1700s, and this was his birthday was today, or was 5th of February, and that's what made it Weatherman's Day, because he was the first known weatherman. But some of my history may be a little bit skewed there, but that's the general gist of it.
You mentioned kids, and I know sometimes you do a lot of programs with them, getting them excited about the weather. Is that something that a lot of kids seem to be fascinated
with? It is a fascination with kids. Every kid wants to know about tornadoes and hurricanes and are we going to have a snow day? The teachers want to know if we're going to have a snow day. I've been going regularly and will continue to be going through the Elyria, the Lorraine schools, the Clearview school, all the schools in our listening area. And I'm happy to join any teacher who wants to talk about weather or have me come and talk. I address the content standards. You just led me down the garden path here, Bruce. But my program is called Atmosphere Adventures, and I am funded by some of the community foundations here in Lorain County to come to the schools. And so I'll come for free, and I'll address the content standards for weather science, atmospheric science in your school if you care to have me. And get a hold of me at John, J-O-N, at skyguyusa.com. John, J-O-N, at skyguyusa.com. And thank you for the advertisement, Bruce.
Now, do you bring like a suitcase? Are you like a magician bringing all sorts of things?
Well,
are you like
a scientist?
What is it?
Yeah, I bring a lot of stuff with me because some kids have never seen an anemometer. And that's the thing that measures wind speed. And this kind of thing you hold up in the sky and let the wind blow through. So
That was your finger. Don't you hold your finger up?
Yeah, well, you do that. Yeah, that's how I do the forecast. But in order to get correct meteorological information, so they've never seen one. So I have them blow into it and see how much they can, you know, how wind they can generate. Right. And then I put that into perspective with what hurricanes produce and what tornadoes produce in the way of wind speeds. And yeah, we play games with lots of things. It's very hands-on. It's very interactive. The old teaching adage goes, if you tell a student something, they'll remember some of it. If you show them, they'll remember more. But if they do it themselves, they'll get it. And that's what it's all about, doing it themselves. So we play games with balloons. We build a barometer out of a pickle jar. We play with straws and glasses of water. And we do lots of things that it's difficult to convey to a student that the air weighs 14.7 pounds for every square inch. So you hold out your hand and you go, maybe I've got 10 square inches on my hand, so that means I'm holding 147 pounds of air. Doesn't feel like it.
Right.
How do you convey that?
Right.
But every kid has taken a straw and put it into a drink at a fast food restaurant, popped their finger over the top of the straw, pulled it out, yeah, and the liquid stays in the straw. Why does it stay in the straw? Now is my opportunity to tell them about barometric pressure, which pushes in all directions and keeps the liquid in the straw. So we play games.
I'm fascinated by that. That's
yeah, it's fun.
Oh, yeah.
The kids love it. The teachers love it. And we talk about the content standards that help them get higher scores on the tests,
right,
the standardized tests.
And you sneak in some math there occasionally, too, I suppose.
Yeah, we
right?
do. We sneak in some math. You know, people don't realize that we're traveling at 750 miles an hour right now as we sit here jabbering about who knows what, and no one feels it. And, you know, we have to go that fast in order to get around in 24 hours. We play with things like the speed of light and the speed of sound, because lightning is light and thunder is sound, and each of those travels at a different speed. So the famous adage about counting to five for every mile that a thunderstorm is away from you is true, because sound travels at 1,083 feet per second and light travels at 186,000 miles per second. And we sneak a little math in there, and that helps them with that too.
It's amazing how sometimes, even with the weather, there's sort of, you know, old wives' tales, or the way that people figured things out, either. And then there became sort of the ways to measure it to prove what their thinking was correct.
Yes, it's those old adages about, you know, the spider tearing down his web when there's a storm coming. They're all based in fact. The birds fly lower during storms. Why? Because their bones are hollow. What is in those hollow bones? Air. What changes about the air? The air pressure. Yeah. The amount that's pushing against those bones from the outside compared to what's pushing out from inside those bones. Why does your knee creak? Why do you have, you know, why does grandma say there's a storm coming? Simply because the air pressure changes, and all of those old adages often have some scientific basis, and many of them are just plain old true.
Right, and it kind of makes it be able to, everybody can in some way be a weather person. I don't want to say meteorologist, because you have to go to school for that.
No, I started as a thin urologist, then I gained some weight, and so now I am a meteorologist. I'm sorry.
Large ologist?
This morning.
Thanks very much. That's really good.
You didn't need that.
That's
I know.
Okay. We appreciate you coming in this morning.
It's my pleasure.
Thank
it's always
you.
Great
and we,
to be
we
here.
Always enjoy the forecast that you provide with us, and sort of a little bit of the history. We now know, Craig and I know that Gabriel is the first name of the Fahrenheit, the gentleman who...
Yeah, Gabe Fahrenheit. He's been losing popularity by degrees here lately. And we're coming up on Valentine's Day, which is a great holiday that has a history that doesn't necessarily have to do with weather, but it has to do with a guy who healed his jailer's blind daughter and sent her a note signed, "Your Valentine." And so there are all kinds of little goofy things that I throw out that are useless to most people.
Well, it's all about the calendar, different things that happen throughout the year and what they mean and how come it is that as well. We just came out with a snow moon, right? Isn't that the one?
Yeah, the February moon is the snow moon, according to the Native American tribes from around here.
I don't know. It seemed to me like it was full for 3 full days. I don't know why.
February 3rd was officially our full moon.
All right.
But, you know, we're under cloud cover so frequently. We are one of the top 5 cloudiest major cities in the United States. We are right up there with Seattle and Anchorage and Portland, Oregon. We suffer from sun deprivation. SAD, the acronym is Seasonal Affective Disorder, is rampant around here because we see the sun so infrequently. And February is, well... December is our cloudiest month. January and November, on the other side, are the 2 second cloudiest months. They're kind of in a tie. But typically, February only brings us 2 or 3 clear days with the sun shining beautifully. And we haven't seen that for a while, have we, Craig?
Nope.
Yeah, it's been a while.
All right.
Don't look for it today or tomorrow.
It'll eventually show up. Again.
Eventually. It's there, folks. It's 93
there.
Million miles away. But we got this.
Who's measuring
48
that?
Shades of gray between us and
very
and
much.
It.
Exactly. John, thanks for stopping in. Appreciate
you bet.
It.
Thank
John
you,
Lothman, who provides us with the weather throughout the morning and a lot of great information for us